Hey, and welcome to When She Leads, a podcast for women in ministry. I'm your host, Brenda Leavenworth, and I want to sit around the table with you, grab a cup of coffee, and consider the complexities and realities of leading as a woman. I'll be joined by an awesome team of women from across the globe, and together we'll bring our experience, research, victories, and of course our failures. Listen in as we confront each topic biblically and practically.
As we proceed to lead through our own seasons of doubt, whether it's our capabilities or whatever it is, it's remembering who God is, remembering who we are in Him, remembering what He's called you to do and believing that. And so I think that's, for leaders, that's important to remember.
Today on When She Leads, we are discussing leading through seasons of doubt. I'm Brenda Leavenworth, pastor's wife and women's ministry director at Reliance Church in Temecula, California.
I'm Jody Ponce, women's ministry leader of Calvary Cork in Cork, Ireland.
Hi, I'm Kelly Bell. I'm from Calvary Chapel Murrieta, and I am the director of women's ministries as well as our justice ministry at our church.
So I'm assuming like you guys have never doubted in your entire life.
Never.
Jody, how about you? Never, right?
You're laughing because you know that I think we experience a lot of doubt.
Yeah, I think we all have. Today, you know, I want to kind of talk about like what is doubt, you know, and is there a difference between doubt and unbelief? Is it good or is it bad? Is it sinful? What role does fear play and faith play in doubt? And these are kind of the questions that I have rolling around in my head. And so with your help, you know, I kind of want to like unpack some of those things that we can talk about today. And what should I do when I'm leading through doubt? Like when I'm going through a season of doubt, how can I continue to lead? Because we all know in ministry, the treadmill doesn't stop, right? Like yeah. Sunday keeps coming, Wednesday keeps coming. You know, we still have to minister to people. And when we're struggling ourselves with something, and especially today's topic, doubt, what do we do in that situation? So first off, let's talk about what exactly is doubt?
Well, the definition actually, doubt, uncertainty, disbelief, to question or be uncertain, to lack confidence in or to consider something unlikely. And so I think doubt, like you said, is a natural response to pain and faith testing. I mean, we're human. I think that is a natural response. Doesn't make it right necessarily, but it is a natural thing. And I think every single person, starting with Adam and Eve in the garden, experiences doubt.
Yeah, I think that it's a completely normal human reaction to something that we're questioning, you know. And the beauty of Christianity is that it is actually a religion based deeply on rationality. It's something that's been thought through, and the Bible makes a lot of sense, and it is an explanation for our narrative, our human narrative, our world, our story. And it gives us space to doubt, and there's no sense of kind of a forbiddenness when it comes to doubt. Like, we're allowed to ask questions all through the Bible. Like, was that you, Brenda or Kelly, you were saying that the biblical figures, you know, asked questions. Moses said to God on the mountain, "Will not the judge of all the world do right?" Yeah. You know, and the Bible itself questions deeply. If I can read Habakkuk 1:1-4, it says this: "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." And I just think, it, you know, for me, when I did go through seasons of doubt, it was so comforting to me to read scriptures like this, because I thought, that's my pain. Yeah. That's my heart. Those are my questions. And how wonderful that God put that scripture in the Bible, you know, and it was calling out exactly what was going on in my heart at that moment, you know. And I thought, how lovely that the Lord is comforting me even in this season, that He's not judging me because he put this in His own word, you know. These are deep questions of the human heart, and I'm grateful to have a God who can weather our doubts, and who also provides answers for us.
Yeah. Amen. That kind of goes right into that Psalm 73, you know, where the writer was talking about he was upset because he had seen all these people who do evil succeed. And here he was, like, looking at all these people that, like, well, they're succeeding. And he said, you know, that's great for you. God is good. That's mm-hmm. great for you. Mm-hmm. But for me, I almost slipped. I almost stumbled because I was seeing all of this, you know, sort of injustice in the world. Like, here I am trying to do good, trying to do what I am. And all these people who are doing evil seem to be having a great life.
Yeah.
And so that writer, he deals with his doubt. And I think that's one thing that we kind of have to keep in mind. Like, if we're doubting, it's not in the doubting. It's that if we stay in the doubting, I think there's a part where we have to lean in. We have to fight to get through that doubt. We have to, like, go to scripture, see what God says, like, explore the topic, and then, you know, try to really come out the other side. I think of two forms of doubt, and we'll talk about both, but one is that I doubt God, and to me that can be a crisis of faith. I can doubt my faith. I can be dealing with a belief in God in general, because it is a big topic, isn't it, when you start thinking about who God is. And I know as an early Christian, it was like there was doubt, you know, in those days when it was like, is this all real? Is this all really true? I think I don't know very many believers who haven't at least gone through that at least once, if not a number of times. So I may doubt in God's faithfulness. You know, is he really capable of doing what he said he was going to do? I think that's what the guy in Psalm 73 was talking about. You know, like, are you really faithful? Are you really just? Are you really holy? And then I think another thing is that we can doubt ourselves. We can doubt my abilities. I can doubt my worthiness. That's a big topic that people deal with, is am I worthy enough? You know, this could be, sometimes doubt can be based in fear, that we're fearful of something. And I think that some can be just based in a belief system or a lack of faith or an unbelief. I think of that scripture that talks about, you know, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I think it's in Mark. But let's talk about personal doubt. Jody, you have had, like, personal, deep personal experience with this. Would you share just a little bit about what you went through in your season of doubt?
Yeah, absolutely. So I always say there are four S's that caused me to doubt, and those S's are science, scripture, silence, as in silence from God, and suffering, the suffering that we see in the world. And you know, there came a time when a lot of things kind of came together in a perfect storm, and I began to deeply question the reality of my faith. And Stephen Hawking, he's Oxford professor. He's dead now, but he came up with the Big Bang Theory, and he was an atheist, and he said that Christianity is a fairy story for those afraid of the dark. And I think that's what I was beginning to fear. I was beginning to fear that this was just all made up, you know, and I really deeply doubted. But so Dominic Dunn, who's a pastor up in Oregon, he wrote a book called When Faith Fails, Finding God in the Shadows of Doubt. And in it, he says that what we can do when we doubt is we can put more faith in our doubts than we do in our faith. So just because we have a doubt, we think that must be true. I'm doubting it, therefore my doubt must be true. And I went through that season and started to think that all my doubts must be true. And if we're talking to leaders today about what to do in a season of doubt, I suppose that I would encourage you from my own experience that we have to take it extremely seriously. And it's not something that can be ignored or pushed down. It's like whack-a-mole. If you whack it down, it will pop back up again. And it can be catastrophic for our faith and our ministry if we don't deal with it. And the only way to deal with doubt is to wrestle and to begin to become a scholar and to read and to listen to podcasts. And I watched hour upon hour upon hour of debates between Christians and non-Christians and atheists and believers. And I decided that I would read everything that I... Like, I read all of the New Atheists. I read The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins. And so I took it really, really seriously. And all the time I was handing these things over to God and just asking him to lead me and guide me. And there's a quote from the Dominic Daum book. And it says that if we ignore our doubts, it can be toxic for our faith. If all we care about is certainty, we lose the beauty of mystery. If all we value is explanation, we lose the joy of exploration. Deep faith is about progress, not perfection. And I would say that's the journey that I went on, you know, as I began to really explore the doubts that I was having, with time and deep exploration, I began to realize that my doubts were in many areas unfounded, and the things that were offered by different worldviews, I also deeply doubted. And I came to realize that actually Christianity is a firm foundation to build your life on, and there aren't other firm foundations out there. But, you know, Dominic Daum in this book, he beautifully brings out that there may not always be an answer to every single question. Now, there are lots. And like I say, I'd encourage you to take it seriously and become a scholar in your faith. But also, we do live in a tension. You know, there are some areas like with suffering in the world and stuff that we're like, have to hand that one over to God, you know, because sometimes I just don't understand, but that's okay. You know, I'm not God. But where we can, I think we should search for the answers, because there are a lot of answers out there. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord brought me through. He's faithful. He brought me through the season. And doubt is not something that I suffer with at all now. And it's almost like I quelled the dragon, you know, because I did so much work on it that it really brought me to a deeper faith. And now people could come to me with a lot of different things on these topics, science, and I feel like, oh no, that's fine. I'm not going to be shaken by that at all. I've looked into that myself deeply, you know? Yeah. And so you stand on a sure foundation when you don't let the doubt drive you into a place of fear and hiding, you know, sort of in the corner.
Yeah.
Hoping that no one will ever bring up that topic.
Exactly. You know, one of the things that helped me through doubt was just studying the way that we got our scriptures, like understanding the authenticity of how we got the Word of God, and just some of the background in that, in studying through, you know, just how we got our Bible, what it says, the percentages of, you know, why it's true and how it's true, and all of that really helped, firmly founded my faith. And that's a kind of a weird area to study those things, but it really did settle me, because it was like, this didn't just happen by chance. These authentic documents are more authentic than anything we've ever seen, for things that we would say are true and are authentic. The Bible's even more authentic than that. And so just going through that and studying those things really helped settle me. Just prophecy, how many prophecies have come true, you know, that it's a mathematical impossibility. So those were some of the things that settled God in my life, because I didn't grow up as a Christian. So I didn't know, you know, is this true? Is this big fairy tale? Is this, you know, and so, but I needed to settle that, because I was tired of like asking that question, like, God, are you real? You know, God, are you real? Like, are you really real? You know, or am I just willing to sort of go along and play the role? And I didn't want to play the role. I wanted to have a genuine relationship with God, but I wanted to know that I know that he exists. So going into maybe some like self-doubt, like going into that realm, what are your thoughts, Kelly, on that?
Well, I was going to say, it's almost like it can be two different podcasts, because there can be one on just doubting who God is and the essence of what you both have talked about. And then, which I think early on I settled like Jody, but with all the years of ministry, I find that I continue to doubt, and that's embarrassing to say, maybe not, but like my calling or my own abilities, which actually, in essence, that's doubting God's, because it's God's power and God's, you know, it's God's strength that I'm functioning in anyways, not my own. But I'm a little bit more like Moses, where when God calls Moses, you know, in Exodus 3, he's like, who am I to do this? You know, and I love personally to study all the Bible greats who, did suffer with doubt or had periods of doubt, like she had mentioned Habakkuk, but Job and Habakkuk both doubted God's justice. Thomas doubted his resurrection. Peter doubted, you know, a lot. Sarah, Moses, Gideon, Zechariah, even Mary and Martha doubted that their brother would have died if, you know, he wasn't there. So there's so many different forms of doubt. And yes, they all go back to when I'm looking at myself and my insecurities and my capabilities, I'm almost limiting God to a human, you know, a human, what if I can't do it, surely God can't. And so I've learned how, I guess, over all the years, because I'm a big doubter. I never feel capable. I am totally Moses. There's got to be someone else who's better at this. You don't know what you're doing. You know, but yet I have learned that I don't allow that doubt to immobilize me or keep me from ministering. I like looking at in the Bible at how God continued to use them. Even I start out, like, sometimes we start out like Job, you know, oh gosh, you know, I'm so much faith and blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord gives, Lord takes away. And then we end up like Peter as he walked on the water, you know, right motive, right heart jumps out there. He wants to be with Jesus. And then what? He's looking at the waves and the wind and the water and starts to sink. And so often that's me as well, is to get your eyes off the Lord. But I just find it, as soon as I get my eyes on me, the doubts begin to surface. And that's my practical sense to remind myself it's God's strength, it's God's wisdom, it's God's power, it's not me. Right. So.
And we walk by faith, yeah. Not by sight.
Yes.
And that's a hard thing to do. I mean, you look at Eve in the garden and, you know, it said in there, you shall not eat of this tree of the garden. That's what God told her. But Satan wanted to capitalize on her lack of confidence. And definitely. So what does he do? He comes right behind with a denial, even a stronger statement. You'll not surely die.
Yeah.
And so doubt is a tool that the enemy uses because you know what? All the enemy has to do is get us to quit.
He plants a seed.
That's all he has to do is get us to quit. So if we go in that, he'll jump on. Yeah. And go on that parade right down the road with us. You know what I mean? He's totally willing. And so, you know, here she was doubting Zechariah. I mean, in Zechariah, we know there are consequences to our doubt. Now, I don't know, God's the judge of that. But for Zechariah, you know, he was mute until the day of the promise. And so, you know, you've got that. That's why I think it's so important to deal with it, because it can become sinful. I don't think doubting or questioning.
Right.
I love the verse in Isaiah, and this is helpful for those that are finding themselves in a season of doubt. Isaiah 40:28 says, "The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint nor grow weary." Mm-hmm. So even though, like in Malachi, it says the Lord is wearied when people accuse him of wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. It's not the doubt or the questioning. It's when, you know, Malachi 2:17 says, "You have wearied the Lord with your words, but you say, how have we wearied him? By saying, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or by asking, where is God? Where is the God of justice?" And the Jews of Malachi's day were attributing injustice to God. And God says, no, that he's wearied by the allegations. Mm-hmm. He's not wearied by our doubt.
Yeah.
He's just wearied when we take that the step further and then we start alleging motive to God. I love James 1:5. It says, you know, because you think about, like, okay, we walk by faith. We have these doubts. What's some of the remedies for these doubts? Well, James chapter 1, starting in verse 5, he says, "If anyone of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach." That means if we ask, he's going to give it to us, and it will be given to him. "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways." So I think if we stay in that doubt, you know, God has given us like some tools and some prescriptions, and so to speak, of things that we can do to work through that. So it's not a bad thing to go through, but we don't want to stay there. We want to continue to keep working.
Yeah. I feel like doubt can enhance one's faith, or it actually can destroy it if you don't seek the answers like Jody talked about, you know, because I don't think asking the questions, like you said, is the problem. It's not asking them when you have the doubt that becomes the problem. And I think Satan is, that's an old tool, doubt. I mean, he uses it, I think, on everybody. And even Jesus, you look at how Satan, you know, took Jesus to the wilderness to tempt him and says, but he did it with doubt, you know, and you even see that. And how did Jesus respond to that? Even on the cross, when he was hanging on the cross, basically dying, and others were saying, hey, you know, if you are who you say you are, if you're the Son of God, you can come down. Even again, I think the enemy moving them to make Jesus doubt, you know, do I really have to do this or whatever? You just, it's so common. It's something that he uses so often.
And I love that there's stories in the Bible like Thomas. It's like, can I just touch your side?
Yeah.
Like, don't you feel that way with God sometimes? Like, I just need, can I just see it once? Can I just like feel it?
So lovely is that Jesus did let him, didn't he?
Yeah.
He held out his hands and let him. Yeah. He didn't say, no, just believe in me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. In that particular instance, it was so great that he's just like, fine. Do it. I want to talk through some reasons of doubt. I have a list, and maybe you guys can add on to it or tell me what you think. But I think of some reasons in the past why I have had doubt. Sometimes it can be habitual or besetting sins. And I have heard this a lot, like, you know, 30 years of ministry, and we've seen people come and go. We've seen people like pull away from the Lord, pull away from the church. And a lot of times they'll say, I don't believe in God anymore. But really what's at the core of that is that they've been dealing with some sin that they don't want to give up, or that something habitual,
or
they
pain.
Just don't think pain. There's something they haven't dealt with, but then it's easier just to say, you know what, I don't believe in God anymore. And I think that I don't want to give the problem without some remedies. And I think for that, you know, just getting into a rhythm of confession and asking God for forgiveness. You know, 1 John 1:9, jot that down, read it. You know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think another one is fear, and I deal with that, you know, if that battle of fear and faith. You know, if I don't have faith, I get fearful, or if God wants me to step out in an area, sometimes I'm fearful. And I think for that, you know, it says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God in Romans 10:17. And so I think that reading his word to build our faith is a good remedy for that. I think another reason is the absence of God's work in our lives. And I think you mentioned that. That was one of your S's, Jody, you know, silence. You know, if we don't see God working, then there's a tendency to have that doubt. And I would describe this as like a sin of omission. You know, maybe there's something that God's asked us to do, but then we don't do it. And that can be, you know, we're omitting something. And I think that one, for me, you know, a remedy, it's not to just repent, but then to do what he's called us to do. There are things, you know, some people say, well, I don't know the will of God. But it's like there's a general will of God. So when we're trying to figure out what specifically he wants me to do, maybe there's a time when I just need to like do something that's, you know, within the general will of God. There's plenty of stuff that he gives us to do that. So do something. Sometimes I doubt my worthiness or my genuineness of being a child of God. Sometimes I feel guilty over past sins, and that might make me doubt. You know the voices, like, oh, you call yourself a Christian. Oh, you call yourself a pastor's wife. You've heard all the voices. Yeah. Oh, you call yourself a women's ministry director. Oh, they're supposed to follow you. Yeah. You know the cycle that goes on in our head. And so sometimes it's that guilt or the accuser that comes and continues to accuse us of wrongdoing when that's not Christ. He's forgiving. He gives us that forgiveness every single day. And to me, what does that say really then about Christ's sacrifice? Like, no, he died for my sins. He's worthy of dying in my place. And so if I hold on to that unworthiness, then I'm saying, well, his sacrifice really wasn't that great. You know what I mean? To me, how great is his sacrifice? Like, or it wasn't enough. Yeah, it is enough. His death on the cross was enough to cover me. It's so I think for that one, just understanding salvation by grace alone, just really digging into that theology of what it means to just to have someone pay the price for me, be able to just say, my sins are forgiven because of nothing that I did. There's no works involved. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, if you want to look that up later, I would recommend reading that too. What do you guys think? Reasons for doubt, or so if you wanted to add something to one of those things that I talked about.
I think one of them is a lack of understanding of God, maybe his character, his sovereignty, his power, again, his faithfulness. Oftentimes we, like I said before, we limit to him rather than he's the God of the impossible, of what we can see, I guess. And so we limit him and we don't understand. And if we don't have an understanding of who he is and his promises and what he promises to do, not what we want him to do, but what he promises to do, sometimes I think that causes doubt or, you know, anger or whatever. But I think one of the tools for when we start to doubt in that sense is, again, looking at the past, how God has been so faithful to us, what he promises in the future, and reminding ourselves that, you know, God's word is God's word. I think I just feel like it always boils down to God's word. You know, the answers are there. The self-talk to get yourself out of doubt and what you're doubting comes from the word. It's quoting scripture to yourself, reminding yourself who God is, what he's called you to do, and your belief in him. I find myself doing that a lot. And I don't know, Jody, what do you think?
Lads, I'd have you here all day if I was listing out reasons to doubt.
Yes, really.
But yeah, I mean, my four S's, I think, were my big ones. Obviously, doubting yourself, that's, Kelly, you were saying it could almost be a separate podcast, you know, but this is a podcast to women leaders. Like, I think that is something that we have to deal with in so many areas that even men don't have to deal with. Because in so many of our leadership positions, we even doubt if we are supposed to be there or if we're supposed to be doing this, you know. Often we lack support.
Yeah.
And we have to sort of step out and just do it, not always knowing if people around us or us even, you know, if their theology supports that. And yet we do all these things, you know. Women are doing so much in the church. And so I think it's very difficult to weather that kind of doubt, you know, especially when you feel very alone in it. Yeah. But you know what is so encouraging in that situation is how much Jesus is for us and how much he loves us and how much he supports us and how wonderful the Gospels and the Epistles are when it comes to women and what an encouragement there is in that, you know. So, yeah, I mean, there are so many areas of doubt, you know, and Brenda, you were talking about like kind of different kinds of doubt and how we deal with it. And I think that there are ways that we can deal with doubt that are very harmful and have led to a lot of deconstruction in the Christian faith. And I think this is particularly in America, but globally as well, whereby people start to idolize their doubts.
Yes.
You can demonize your doubts, and that's not good, because you can say, I'm a bad person, I am having doubts, you know, and you like flagellate yourself over that. And that's not right, because like we doubts are human and God has grace and we need to pursue those doubts and allow our faith to come to a surer place. But we can also idolize our doubts and like begin to think that all the things that we doubt about the Christian faith must be true. And so what we do is, if you imagine like a Lego set that we build, and the Lego set is Christianity, we start to like deconstruct the Lego set and just like pull little bits off until our faith becomes unrecognizable and it's not even Christianity anymore. It's some other religion completely, you know? And I think that's where doubt can go very wrong. When we want to be acceptable and to be kind in the way that culture is telling us to be kind and accepting that we diminish our faith and we diminish the gospel and we literally take it apart until it's some sort of skeleton of what it truly is, you know, and that comes from, it's what you girls were saying earlier about a lack of understanding of the beauty of the gospel and salvation. And the only place that we can allow the truth of the gospel to really penetrate is if we come daily, mm-hmm. in daily practice, to the secret place with Jesus and have a phrase that has been like almost done away with in its like ubiquity, but a strong personal relationship with Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. where we know him and we know his goodness, and we see that his goodness permeates every aspect of the gospel and Christian doctrine. And so nobody can shake you when they say this is unkind or this is mean or this is a bad doctrine, you know, this is bad for the world, this is going to do the world harm, because you know Jesus and you know his love and you know how he loves the world. And you know that the world needs this true gospel. And then that personal relationship with Jesus and the strength of that relationship found only in the secret place and daily practice sustains us through those questions and those doubts. Amen. And helps us not to deconstruct our faith and turn it into something it was never meant to be.
Right. I think of just going through like the spiritual disciplines, like really having... and practicing spiritual disciplines, I think a lot of people who, and I won't say, excuse me, I won't say it's those who just doubt, but I think also just in our faith, like a good daily practice of going through spiritual disciplines, you know, having our time of solitude, having that time of fasting, having the time of prayer, and really getting to know God, like you were saying, you know, really being able to know God. I think those things can protect us from doubt, because then we're meeting with and having the Holy Spirit work through our lives on a daily basis and really giving up our life. You know, I think of the scripture talks about just like, you know, picking up our cross daily, denying ourselves, picking up our cross daily and following him, that those are good things. And when I think about like demolitioning, you know, we just bought a fixer upper about a couple years ago. And so for me, when you're deconstructing something, it's to rebuild. The goal is to rebuild something more beautiful, something more true, something, you know, it's not just about deconstructing, because I think a lot of people will deconstruct, but then not with the goal of finding the truth, not with the goal of finding a faith in God. It's just the act of deconstructing something that, you know, if you just go in and demolish it, like, well, what's your plan? You know, we need mm-hmm. to have a plan to then go, okay, what's right, what's true, you know, and what am I listening? And I think that's part of what you were saying about the idolizing of doing something like that, because it's just like, well, I want to deconstruct this. I want to throw this off and this off and all the things that I don't like, but am I seeking the truth in that? Or do mm-hmm. I just like, it kind of reminds me of the old Calvinist conversations where it's just like you go over and over it, and people were idolizing that conversation because they just wanted to hear themselves talk about it. You know what I mean? Instead of just, I do think this is a whole other subject, but I think we've lost the art of just being able to like disagree with people and like have a conversation, and I can appreciate where you're coming from and you can appreciate where I'm coming from, and we can hear each other and learn from each other and work through those things, and not the heated, you know, divisive arguments that the body of Christ. I think about how does that hurt the heart of God when we're not, you know, unified? And doubt can even cause that. It can cause division within people. And you know, just one other random thought that I was thinking about too. And doubt is even in our ministry. And so we're talking to leaders today, and even in our ministries, we should be able to recognize doubt in others too, because I've had people that really could have, they're gifted, they maybe doubt their calling or their abilities, and then they'll be out the door. And I could help teach through that. You know what I mean? Like, yes, you feel this pressure, don't run. You know, because I think that's our first kind of go-to. Like when we feel doubtful, you're just like, I want to be anywhere but here. So the tendency for doubt is to run. Like, I really do think like that's our first Absolutely. Tendency. You say doubt, I'm like, I'm out the door. Like, yeah. Forget it.
And I think like, Brenda, what you were just saying there is so important, because you were talking about denunciation and how we're like denouncing people left, right and center and arguing with each other. And it's ungodly. and it's unhelpful. And but see, that's actually, doubt can be the root of that, because what happens is we have doubts and we don't deal with them. And then somebody starts to speak up and say things that are triggering our doubts. They're like poking those doubting places. And we're like, oh, I don't have an answer for that. Like, but I'm just trusting God, but I don't have an answer for that. And I don't know. So now I'm scared. Now I'm in fear. And now the only thing that I can go to, because I haven't pursued any answers for these doubts, is I'm going to denounce you. I'm going to say you're bad and you need to be quiet and you need to stop saying these things. And it's coming out of a place of fear, you know? And I think that's another good reason for particularly people in leadership to, when the kind of irritation of doubt hits, like the little itch, you know, you have to look into that and you have to scratch it and you have to seek God for answers and bring those things to the foot of the cross, you know?
I think if we're talking about for leaders leading through doubt, I don't know, the Lord keeps putting on my heart just one word, and this kind of simplistic maybe, but remember. Because how many times in the Old Testament the Israelites forget, and we are so good at forgetting. And as we proceed to lead through our own seasons of doubt, whether it's our capabilities or whatever it is, it's remembering who God is. It's remembering who we are in Him. It's remembering what He's called you to do and you know, believing that. And so I think that's for leaders, that's important, the remember. I don't know. That's a word that the Holy Spirit just keeps putting on my heart. That sounds pretty simple, but remember who God is.
And who it worked for David.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He it's was true. With me when I yeah. fought the lion. He was yeah. with me. So yeah. I think it is good to look back and go, no, I don't have to doubt. You know, and especially in like a teaching ministry, when you're in front of people, just having that ability to go, no, I can walk in this in confidence because it's not my confidence, it's mm-hmm. God's confidence. You know, when we really figure out that it's not about us. Well, while we're wrapping up the show today, how about we give some recommendations? Jody, would you give us that recommendation again of the book you were talking about?
Sure. So it's When Faith Fails, Finding God in the Shadow of Doubt by Dominic Don. Then also, if I can recommend an oldie but a goodie, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, which has some beautiful answers to a lot of the very big questions. And C.S. Lewis once said he was doubting God after his wife died and God was being very silent. And he eventually said, God, I understand now why you utter no answer. You yourself are the answer. What other answer could there be? And I think that Mere Christianity is beautiful in presenting God as the answer to just everything. There's a book by a non-Christian, a man, a popular historian called Tom Holland. He wrote a book called Dominion, and he shows the impact. And this is coming from a secular place, the impact that Christianity has had on the world, the positive impact that it's had in the world, and how all of our understandings of justice and the buzzword these days, social justice, actually come from Christianity. And that's a secular book that will build anybody's faith. And it's very interesting, but Tom Holland is clearly on a journey towards Christ at the moment, which is very exciting. And then finally, Leslie Newbegin, who was a missionary out in India for years in the 50s, and also a scholar, came back. And then kind of when he returned to the West, saw all the changes that secularity had brought. And he wrote lots of books, and they're all very good. Anything by Leslie Newbegin, but one is Foolishness to the Greeks, where he just presents Christianity to a secular world and shows the value of it and the need that people have of it. And all of these books were enormous in building up my faith and showing the beauty and importance of Christianity.
Right. And I remember, Jody, you saying in your personal journey that you even sought out people, professors and mm-hmm. things like that, mm-hmm. to where we can even go to people and say, look, I'm having this struggle with doubt. You know, can you help me walk through this? So I think all those are good. Tim Mackey from the Bible Project also had mm-hmm. a really good teaching on Psalm 73 that I listened to the other day that I would highly recommend anything by just Tim Mackey. Just put in doubt and read anything that he has. Did you have any, Kelly?
No, not specific on doubt. I found, you know, in different stories of doubt as far as with different leaders and stuff, but I don't have one to recommend on just doubt.
And I think going through the people of the Bible who also went through doubt, I think that is very, very, very helpful. Well, thank you for joining us at the table today. We hope you find this content helpful wherever you serve. What do you want to discuss? Email us at whensheleadspodcast@gmail.com and give us some ideas for some topics you would like to hear. You can also follow us on Instagram at whensheleads. Join us at the table next time as we discuss developing and or revamping a women's ministry. This will be in two parts, so join us next time. Until then, remember, lead people to know, love, and serve Jesus.